In the violent shadows of Jamaica's most feared political garrison, few names were spoken with more fear or reverence than Glenford Bebe Dawkins. While the world focused on Jim Brown, the charismatic leader of the Shower Posse, Bebe was the silent hand of death, a ghost in Tivoli Gardens, a reaper in Miami, a loyalist-turned-legend whose loyalty ran so deep it cost him everything. He didn't negotiate, he eliminated. When Jim Brown needed a message sent, Bebe didn't send it. He carved it in blood. From the powder wars in Brooklyn to the coke pipelines in Kingston, Bebe enforced with an iron trigger and a quiet rage. His silence was terrifying, his presence unforgettable. He was the kind of man who could walk into a room full of killers and still be the last one standing. But even muscle has a shelf life. And when a kingpin's empire begins to rot from the inside, the soldiers become targets. Bebe's execution wasn't just a murder. It was a message. One that would unravel the Shower Posse from within. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Shadow Enforcer. Glenford Bebe Dawkins never wanted the spotlight. In fact, that's exactly what made him so dangerous. While others in Tivoli Gardens chased status, women, or flashy reputations, Bebe kept his circle tight and his mouth shut. Born in the trenches of Kingston during the bloody 1960s, he learned early that silence was a form of power. By the time he was 20, he had the kind of respect that came not from words, but from the brutal efficiency of his actions. Bebe became a ghost, not the kind who haunted buildings, but the kind who haunted men. By the early 1980s, he'd already become a trusted enforcer for Jim Brown, the feared Don of Tivoli and leader of the Shower Posse. Brown was the face. Bebe was the gun behind the smile. Together, they were untouchable. Jim negotiated the politics. Bebe enforced the loyalty. He handled cleanups, disappearances, and executions with the cold detachment of a surgeon. Bodies turned up in gullies. Houses burned in the night. Rival gang leaders would vanish, sometimes permanently, sometimes found mutilated with the word traitor etched in their skin. The message was always clear. The Shower Posse wasn't a gang. It was a state within a state. By the mid-80s, the posse had gone transnational. Miami, Brooklyn, Toronto. They weren't just drug routes. They were territories. And Bebe became more than muscle. He was a commander in a silent war. His presence in Brooklyn coincided with a wave of high-profile executions of rivals, often in daylight. He didn't hide. He didn't run. Surveillance would pick him up one day, then lose him for weeks. Witnesses refused to speak. Police reports went missing. In Miami, DEA agents began calling him the Whisper, not because he talked, but because he never did. Arrests couldn't stick. Informants ended up dead, and no one in the posse dared cross him, because to cross Bebe was to invite the kind of death that left a message. But as the money grew, so did the paranoia. Bebe started noticing small things. Calls that clicked too early, meetings that felt wrong, men who used to be loyal suddenly acting nervous. Whispers about Jim Brown losing control began to bubble, and even though Bebe stayed loyal, he wasn't blind. He understood power, and he knew when it was shifting. By the late 80s, Jim Brown was fighting battles on too many fronts. The U.S. wanted him extradited. Rivals within Jamaica were organizing, and factions inside the posse were growing restless. Bebe tried to hold the line. He doubled down on enforcement, pushing back against rival factions and punishing disloyalty with surgical brutality. But when you become the enforcer of fear, eventually, everyone starts fearing you. Bebe didn't know it yet, but the storm was coming. Chapter 2, Bloodlines and Betrayal. It started with a missing shipment in Fort Lauderdale. 20 bricks, gone without a trace. No arrest, no raid, no shootout. Just vanished. Bebe's name came up, not as a suspect, but as the man who would handle it. And he did. Two men were dead within 72 hours. But the whispers didn't stop. Inside the shower posse, loyalty had become currency. And Bebe was still too loyal to Jim Brown. That made him a liability, especially to the younger lieutenants, hungry for power, who had begun building side alliances, some even with rival dons and corrupt political. Brokers tired of Jim Brown's dominance. What happened next wasn't a war, it was a setup. Bebe was called to a peace sit-down in Clarendon, the kind of meeting he'd attended 100 times before. He brought only 2 men with him. It was supposed to be neutral ground. But when he walked into that abandoned farmhouse, he didn't see chairs. He saw plastic sheets. And he knew the ambush was fast, military style, coordinated. 2 of his men were gunned down instantly. Bebe took 2 in the leg and 1 in the shoulder before they surrounded him. He still tried to reach for his weapon. He was shot 6 more times, close range, execution style. 1 bullet straight through the eye. The killers left him there, intact enough to be recognized, mutilated enough to send a message. They carved the letters SP into his chest, not for shower posse, but severed power. A message to Jim Brown, your grip is slipping. Bebe's murder sent shockwaves through the streets of Kingston. He was feared, but also respected. Even rivals who hated him knew what his death meant. If Bebe could be touched, no one was safe. Retaliations exploded. Bodies dropped daily. Men who had served together just months before now hunted each other. The shower posse fractured. Jim Brown tried to hold it together, but the writing was on the wall. His control had died with Bebe. And by the time Brown himself burned to death in a mysterious prison fire, just days before his U.S. extradition, no one was truly surprised. Today, Bebe's name is rarely mentioned outside old Kingston alleys or aging court files in Miami. His death, like his life, was written in silence. No official arrests, no funerals, just whispers. But for those who remember the old codes, the blood oaths, the blind loyalty, the cold executions, Bebe Dawkins isn't just another gangster. He's the last soldier of an empire built on betrayal.